Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For up-to-the-moment Rhode Island news, follow at Bill Bartholomew on X.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
From time to time, there are things that come up that I may disagree on philosophically from a policy standpoint, may have a life experience that sort of informs my own viewpoint, but there's oftentimes a through line. There's some room for debate and discussion that makes sense to me, that it's worth fleshing out in a conversation. When it comes to the removal of the South Water Street bike lane in Providence as part of a broader traffic mitigation or traffic flow mitigation or improvement effort related to the Washington Bridge, frankly, I just don't understand it. And I haven't understood it since the initial idea was floated. That's why a week and a half ago, I asked Secretary Pete Buttigieg, the Transportation Secretary, about this. Ironically enough, he was at an event here in Providence after touring the Washington Bridge, celebrating the opening of a new bike lane. And so my question to him, the very first question that was asked at that event was, hey, there's some talk about removing bike lanes as part of the Washington Bridge traffic mitigation efforts. What's your general take on that? Of course, you can't expect the Secretary of Transportation to be intimately familiar with rumors or internal discussions about one, in his eyes, miscellaneous piece of bike infrastructure. But he offered a soliloquy of sorts, say that three times fast, that basically wrapped the idea as not the best. You know, we're at a point where we want to connect more bike, pedestrian, and non-motor vehicular infrastructure as part of a broader transit operation and vision. And certainly, when it comes to the South Water Street bike lane, when you're talking about a piece of infrastructure that flows towards the Washington Bridge, that already, and again, I'm down there all the time. I've said it a couple of times on the radio. If I think I've even said it here on the podcast, I'm down in that region basically every single day. Never have I had a scenario where traffic has been backed up pre-Washington Bridge, during the Washington Bridge phenomenon. I've never not been able to find a parking spot, whether I'm patronizing a business, going for a walk of the pedestrian bridge, whatever it is. It doesn't seem to me, again, from an anecdotal standpoint, that there's any real crisis here. Now, there have been reports, and the mayor today citing some level of data, some level of traffic study that has led to the conclusion and the decision that the bike lane that right now and for the last couple of years has bisected South Water Street into both a motor vehicle lane, a pedestrian slash bike lane, and parking on each side of the road. In the mayor's viewpoint, that needs to be removed to best mitigate what they describe as serious traffic backup in Providence related to the Washington Bridge, and making the argument that as the Washington Bridge eastbound bypass is restriped from 2 to 3 lanes in each direction, it's only going to get worse. Now, this morning, we knew that the announcement was coming. Who's we? Some members of the media, or at least I did. We knew that this was going to happen today. We didn't know what it was going to be. Had a feeling that he was going to announce the removal of the bike lane, or the anticipated removal of the bike lane. Woke up, saw the statement in part of, or as part, I should say, of a much larger set of ideas and plans, whether that means striping different city streets, changing the timing on traffic lights, putting in don't block the box type of paint on the street. All very good ideas, by the way. Buried in that news release was the following. The administration plans to remove the two-way protected bike path along South Water Street and relocate the infrastructure to the raised sidewalk immediately adjacent to the existing bike path in order to restore the lanes of travel to two lanes, maintain a parking lane with adequate space, and preserve bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure along South Water Street. So what does that mean? Well, we don't really know what that means. They're going to ask for community input. Boy, have they already gotten a great deal of community input, both in the sense of a protest that's taken place, took place earlier this week. A lot of people, I mean, dozens, if not over 100 people, showed up to protest this potential removal of the bike lane. The city council later this week, they're holding an open hearing on this. And you've heard councilors like John Gonzalez speak out against it. And again, you heard Pete Buttigieg in response to a question that I posed to him last a week and a half ago, again, not knowing the specifics of the situation, but essentially opining that removing bike lanes isn't something that we should be doing, that we should be moving in the opposite direction. So they put out this statement this morning. I just got back from City Hall where the mayor held a media availability and really broke this down. And again, I even asked him a question and framed it with the notion that you can't legislate or create policy based purely on feelings. So just because some people want the bike lane to stay, that shouldn't be in any way, shape, or form enough to drive policy alone, right? But I want to see the data around this. I want to see the traffic study that shows because of the bike lane, you've got a scenario where you've got traffic backed up in a way that if the bike lane weren't there, it wouldn't be. Because that's the critical piece. You know, there's been a lot of business opposition to this bike lane, businesses that I patronize, quite frankly, that were opposed to it when it was installed or when it was proposed to be installed, when it was installed. And in the ensuing years, it's really, to me, it's been a nothing burger. I've never heard one person say, boy, that bike lane's terrible and it has completely ruined that section of the city. We constantly talk about how that section of the city is the new Providence. I mean, that is really where they're trying to move it in terms of an epicenter of downtown or Providence itself. The bike lane's a big part of that. I've never heard one person say to me that, boy, if only that bike lane weren't there, the city of Providence would be that much better. And in fact, it's the opposite. If anything, we need more bike lanes. We need more protected bike lanes, more protected pedestrian infrastructure. And here we have an announcement today that they're going to take that bike lane out. Now, I asked them how much it was going to cost to take it out, because if you've been down there, it's not just simply striping on the roadway and removable cones or anything like that. You've got a lot of bus islands. You've got a lot of really, it's going to be a major project to remove. They say, in addition to installing a new raised crosswalk down there by the pedestrian bridge, they're looking at $750,000. $750,000 to take the bike lane out. How long is that going to take? I asked. They don't know. See, I'm wondering if as they're taking this thing out, it becomes a multi-week process where now South Water Street is all that much more inconvenienced for a period of time because you've got this road work happening. Not sure. No one really knows that yet. They haven't really put it out to bid. It all is pending. But the mayor, in a 15-minute media availability that I was at, again, reiterating this decision comes from a combination of data studying and their own photographic evidence of a traffic backup that stretches onto Memorial Boulevard at rush hour. And they're saying that when the eastbound bypass of the Washington Bridge is restriped from two lanes to three lanes, Alviti's telling you that's going to be April 22nd. I don't believe a single date they put out. They shouldn't make an announcement with a date attached to it ever again. Every single date has been botched, missed. It's only added to the confusion and to the resentment around this entire project. But that's a whole other discussion for another day. Right now, though, this morning, the announcement that the bike lane's coming up. So if you want to see the entire news conference, which really was just an ad hoc discussion, it was just myself, the Providence Journal, the Boston Globe, and a couple of TV cameras from 10 and 12 standing around in the mayor's office while he offered some thoughts and then basically took questions for about 14 minutes. You can see that entire video, X at Bill Bartholomew, Instagram at Bartholomew Town, each and every question that was posed to him. And there were some very good ones in there digging into this. But The bike lanes closing, the Providence Streets Coalition, Dylan Giles, puts out this statement. In the absence of both data and community support for the planned removal of the South Water Street urban trail in favor of multiple lanes of car travel, we continue to stand in opposition to the removal of infrastructure that has demonstrably increased safety for bicycle riders and pedestrians, and indeed all road users. While we believe Mayor Smiley's plan remains misguided, we are excited that the proposal will finally get the public vetting it deserves in the light of day, following the legally required avenues of presentation, review, public engagement, and recommendation by the Green and Complete Streets Advisory Council. Go back to that in a second. We're grateful to everyone who wrote, spoke, and walked, rolled, scooted, jammed in the streets in support of this essential infrastructure, and encourage everyone to continue making their voices heard in the coming days and weeks to come. Again, that's Dylan Giles, Providence Streets Coalition. Now, he references the Green and Complete Streets Advisory Council. That's ultimately the authority on this in terms of decision making. And what they're talking about right now, again, there were no renderings. This is very loose. And the public input will be very important here, not only the Providence City Council hearing or meeting that will take place this week, but also substantial and hopefully substantial public comment opportunities in front of that Green and Complete Streets Advisory Council. But what they're talking about right now is basically they're going to move the bike lane up to the sidewalk. And they're going to move the bike lane up there. And now, instead of having that wide open sidewalk that moves along the river where used to be the Providence Flea, and it really is a great place to run, walk, so on and so forth, they're going to combine that with a bike lane. At least that's the loose interpretation that's out there right now. So the spin or the conversation can be framed as there's a bit of a compromise taking place. You know, they're not getting rid of the bike lane altogether. In fact, Smiley's making the argument that this is actually going to improve the overall urban trail. But you can't help but think about PVD Fest with this one. You can't help but think about the mayor making a decision that a loud, vocal, active, and engaged portion of the Providence community opposed, and then sort of finding out the hard way that that decision backfired, and ultimately, in terms of political capital, did him no favors. He ultimately reversed most of the decisions that went into PVD Fest last year going into this year. Not all of them, but most, including critical conversations around activities taking place downtown. So you can't help but think about that a little bit. And again, I don't think Mayor Smiley's coming in here that he wants to be the evil anti-bike guy. I believe he genuinely believes that he's being guided by a couple of things. I'll tell you one, there must be some data out there that they've collected, because that's going to come up in any of the public vetting that takes place in the coming weeks. They're not going to go stand there and make this all about anecdotal, quote-unquote, photographic evidence, Google Maps screenshots, or whatever else they want to put forth. They must have some data. Number two, Smiley, a couple of times during this media availability that we just had down at City Hall, a couple of times he says that the nature of the South Water Street bike trail was misguided from Jump Street. That this thing was always poorly conceived, and that it's been problematic, and perhaps, this is me using poetic licensing here, that the Washington Bridge is an opportunity to undo what they believe was a poorly designed and implemented piece of infrastructure. So that is definitely at play here. And by the way, let's not forget about the businesses that, again, some of whom I patronize on a regular basis. But let's not forget about the fact that you've got businesses that were opposed to this from the get-go. And by the way, some of those businesses awarded their own quasi-private parking spots. I mean, you've got Jeff's Sandwiches. They're on North Main Street. They've got their own private parking spots. At one point, they were occupying a handicap spot. And it's not private, but they've got signage on removable stanchions located in the middle of the, basically in the middle of the parking spot, designating that spot as to-go for their to-go customers. The same thing with Plant City. They got, what, 2-3 spots right there, prime spots, right by the pedestrian bridge, right across from where that ice cream stand is, right outside of their restaurant. They've got their own signage up that would intimidate anybody who has no idea, and even those people who do understand the roadway, from parking there, thinking that, is this private? Is this part of the restaurant? Is this valet? What's going on here? And so in in a compromise move, I'm guessing, after a tremendous amount of vocal opposition to the original installation of the bike lane, the city awarding those quasi-private parking spots. So I asked the mayor, now that you're going to remove the bike lane and restore parking to what it was pre-installation, does that mean you're going to take back those essentially quasi-private commandeered parking spots that businesses have taken for themselves on South Water Street? He said, good question. We don't have an answer. I bet you that those parking spots will stay as quote unquote to-go food. Now, this is a pandemic era relic. And believe me, it's convenient if you're like me and you want to stop by Plant City to grab a cup of coffee when you're downtown and you've got about 3.5 minutes to get to East Providence for a radio show. I'd take advantage of that all day, every day. No problem. Does it seem equitable? Absolutely not. So how about this? I'll take a private parking spot outside of the Bartholomew Town loft here so that if there's some incident where I can't get a parking spot, I'm going to put some signage up because I'm impacted by something. So you got a dangerous precedent there. Never mind the variety of valet parking spots that occupy a lot of the city, especially up on Federal Hill and even in the downtown area. So this thing, again, I just can't wrap my head around it. I think the only way to have rolled this out, if it was me, and again, I'm not a communications person. I've never been a communications person, never been a spokesperson. I've never worked in government. So take that for what it is. But if it was me, I would have presented every single data point. I would have given you the images. I would have given you the numbers that show how in the wake of the installation of that bike lane, traffic flow has been compromised, and in the wake of the Washington Bridge fiasco, now things are all that much worse downtown and in the surrounding area surrounding this bike path. That's how I would have rolled it out, and maybe that's how they're going to do it. When they get to these community meetings, they're going to say, hey guys, we got to find a compromise here. Take a look at the data, which shows that traffic flow at peak times, you want to call it rush hour, whatever you want to call it, is compromised by the implementation of this bike lane. That may be the case. We may get that, and that this whole thing may make a whole lot more sense. But as of right now, it doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me at all. Traffic flowing towards the bridge. Now, I understand South Water Street, in terms of an urban planning piece, is a both from a general and emergency route. It is essential that traffic be able to flow out of the downtown area. It's not the singular artery. There are numerous other arteries. You can stay on Dyer Street and head down towards Allen's Avenue. You could head up College Hill and use any number of cross streets there to get to Gano. You could turn around and head the other direction altogether. But I get it. I understand that there is a value to an exit, an availability of an exit route downtown. Barely downtown in the Innovation District, whatever. I get it. But we need the data, and the mayor's office needs to provide that data, and the Department of Transportation, who will have sort of a, there'll be an overlap in terms of agency here, they need to provide that data, and ultimately the Green and Complete Streets Advisory Council, they're the ones who are going to need the data to make sense of this whole thing. So to recap, this morning, Mayor Smiley announcing in a trove of infrastructure changes anticipated to be implemented pretty soon, he's announcing that they're going to make the South Water Street bike lane ancient history. It's gone. No more. No more bike lane down there. It's gone. Now, they're going to, as currently constituted, it's going to cost $750,000, the mayor tells me, to both remove the bike lane and put a crosswalk in, a raised crosswalk down there. They're going to move the bike lane somewhere, probably on the sidewalk, so you'll have a joint bike and pedestrian sidewalk. And perhaps when this thing's all said and done, everyone will be able to shake hands and say, you know what, this makes sense. It was a little bit fuzzy, but we're in a place now that's better. And influential, quote unquote, businesses are, they can stay out of the way now. They got nothing to moan and groan about. The random moment when traffic is backed up, you can't point to the bikes anymore. And again, I'm there all the time. Let's be clear. I'm down there. I have never once been stuck in traffic on South Water Street. I've been stuck in traffic in just about every cross street in this state. I mean, you give me the name of the street, Newport County, South County, Providence, up in the Blackstone, where you give it to me, I'll tell you, I probably have an incident of being stuck in traffic. I can't think of one time that on South Water Street, traffic has been backed up in an unsustainable way before or during the Washington Bridge fiasco. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm on the radio 3 to 6, so I'm not there during rush hour. I do get calls on the radio sometimes of people saying, oh man, if you only saw it, it's backed up to Memorial Boulevard. But I wonder, does that change when you rip the bike lane out? Does it change? I don't know. We're going to have to find out. Doesn't make sense to me right now. Mayor's got to have data. He's not going to stand it. I mean, the one thing you would, he's not an idiot. I mean, he is a smart guy. I mean, this idea that people have that, Smiley is some kind of dope is couldn't be further from the truth. This is a smart guy. So he must have the data. Or he must know that from a political coalition standpoint, he's better off having those who want those bike lanes out in his corner than those who want those bike lanes to stay. Either way, bad news for those advocates. Bad news. Because as of right now, basically, it seems like we're at a standpoint, we're at a moment where we're at a standstill in terms of the value of protest. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that people were out there the other day. Now, you can make the argument that the people being out in the streets has led to more of an empathetic or open-mindedness to creating something that is more all-encompassing as we move forward. Sure, I'll give you that. From that standpoint, it does matter. But in terms of the actual preservation of that piece of infrastructure, this has been the plan all along. And now the data must have been harvested to be able to back it up, and they're going to implement it. So as with all aspects of the Washington Bridge crisis, and we're just getting started, folks. I mean, make no mistake about it. Alviti tells you April 22nd for the three lanes. He may as well not do that anymore. Some point down the line, there's going to be three lanes on the Washington Bridge. You got businesses suffering all over the place. And there is now a delay in the forensic investigation results as to how we got here. The day of reckoning, as McKee called it. Delay. They announced it yesterday in a news release that only went to select media outlets for some reason. Or at least appear to. Because I've been hearing complaints. Oh, I didn't get it. Well, we got it. But apparently a lot of people didn't. So they're trickling it out there. Oh, hey, you know, we wanted to give you the here's who done it. And now we're not going to be able to do it for a little while. And you wonder what that's really going to look like. I'll tell you right now, our forensic investigation here in Bartholomewtown is just getting started. And our connection and engagement with expertise is just getting started. And most importantly, really listening to you and your concerns. Bill at ripodcast.com. We're just getting started. The Washington Bridge thing is just getting started. Let's be clear. It is not. It seems like, oh, maybe it died down and it's like just how it's going to be for a little while. And look, all you can really do is complain about the traffic. And I do complain sometimes, but that's all you can really do right now. But how do we get here and what other pieces of infrastructure are tied up in similar types of absolute negligence? I told you in December, no chance that a bridge that passes inspection in July, suddenly in December, has a critical failure that requires the closure of that bridge. Now, mere months later, total demolition of that piece of infrastructure. After it passes inspection in July, no chance. Nope. No way. I told you in December. I've reiterated it. Now they know it. They're putting it out there. They probably always knew it. And they're putting it out there. The DOT, they owe me a bunch of documents. I'll say that. And we're waiting to continue to sift through this thing. So stay tuned. But the South Water Street bike lane, as of now, those who are opposed to it, they win. Those who wanted it to stay in, they lose. And any ground of compromise, any shade of coloration that this thing is it's going to work out for everybody, well, we just have to wait and see. A lot of disappointment today for folks in the bike community, in the pedestrian community, and beyond that, too. And again, I'm not going to ride my bike from Elmwood to East Providence. Maybe once in a while, you know, as a recreational thing, I'm not going to ride around. What, am I going to bring my gear with me? The podcast equipment in a backpack? And if I got music sticking, I'm going to ride around with all that? No way. I love my bike. I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying that's, but that doesn't mean that I don't have empathy and understanding for the fact that lots of people do. and it makes our city better, makes our city more modern. It's in sync with a Vision Zero initiative that is supposedly under being undertaken here. 750,000 dollars to remove the bike lane and install that crosswalk. Is it worth it? We'll find out. Maybe there's a chance everybody's happy. As of right now, doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. Again, full press conference, or really it wasn't even a press conference, full hangout in the mayor's office on this from about an hour ago. X at Bill Bartholomew, Instagram at Bartholomewtown. You can watch it there for yourself, about 15 minutes long. We shall see. We shall see how this one goes. Mayor's not a moron. So those people who are on there bashing him, saying, oh, he's a stupid, I mean, it may be a stupid decision. There's got to be some data somewhere that they can make that argument. Right now, they haven't made the argument. All right, everybody, have a great day.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.